Welcome to Programming in Tongue, a podcast of the Universal Translator Assistant Project. Welcome back. I'm Joel, otherwise known as Mr. Klingon, and you are at Programming in Tongues, a place where we think and talk about how to use computers to learn and create fantastic languages for science fiction and fantasy stories. Now, there's no end of fantastic constructed languages and wonderful stories written around them, but there's no constructed language fan, particularly no computer-literate Tonglanger, can afford to be ignorant about the wonderful tools and information available for a very, very important source of languages.
The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien.
That's right, J.R.R. Tolkien, creator of The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, The Silmarillion, has given us a rich treasure trove of linguistic places to explore and to learn many things. Now, there are tools available because, as I say for the title of this, Tolkien is the father of all, as far as the constructed language community goes. There is no one who has done as much to create a rich tapestry from which we draw lots of things for constructed languages. The sound clip that you heard, and there's a picture on the show notes, is from the audio cassette version of the excellent BBC adaptation of The Lord of the Rings. If you listen to anything, I really encourage you to find a copy of that. It's available in CD, it's available in audio cassette. Hearing the voices, hearing elven words and names through that whole series, it's 13 cassettes. It's a wonderful way to experience the reality Tolkien created in his work. My commute to work is either walking a mile to a bus or taking my bicycle, and so I have some commute time to do things, and spending a week listening to the stories of The Lord of the Rings, it's makes me feel like I have actually walked from the Shire and onto Mordor. It's a great adaptation and more faithful to the books than the excellent Jackson films. It makes a nice compliment, actually, to have the visual imagery from those movies and to listen to the mental pictures created by the BBC actors and crew. It's great. Now, one of the sources, if you look at the show notes, you'll see I refer to something called the Ardalambion. It's a web page where it's the place to start if you're going to learn about Tolkien's languages. Helge Kaure Fevskaninger, I apologize for mangling his name, has created this website, and he's got just wonderful things about the Tongues of Arda, the invented world of J.R.R. Tolkien. It's the most comprehensive site about Tolkien's invented languages that you are likely to find on the net. Now, in 1931, Tolkien wrote an essay about the somewhat peculiar hobby of devising private languages. He called it a secret vice. But in Tolkien's case, the vice can hardly be called secret anymore. Helgi goes on to write, "What really is going on inside the head of a man who all his life is toying with enormous linguistic constructions, entire languages that have never existed outside his own notes? For one thing must be perfectly clear, he made very much more of these languages than he ever could hope to include in his stories. True, there are a few elvish poems and a swarm of exotic names in the annals of Middle-earth, but even so, this is nothing compared to all that Tolkien made." Now, there are a number of tools that you can use. Now, if you go and look at the show notes, you'll see something referred to called Yat, yet another Tengwar tool. Tengwar is the the font or the writing style for the Elvish languages, and it's a great tool called Yat, and you can get it. It's downloadable for a number of different operating systems. It's a transcription software that you can use, and it links to dictionaries as well. It's very useful. But the tool that I use the most that is wonderful is called Dragonflame. It's from a French site. It's www.jrrvf.com. The link, full link, is on the show notes, and it's a freeware application for Windows, and it's also available on Linux. It includes the Sindarin Dictionary, which is the language you want to look at when you're reading Tolkien, additional lexicons, and a complete Sindarin corpus. That is, it has songs and some of the passages that are from Tolkien's work, as well as the Lord's Prayer as translated into Sindarin. What's neat about those is that you can link in the tool from vocabulary words back into the dictionary part of Dragonflame and cross-reference back and forth. What I like about this, particularly going back to listening to the stories and hearing the words, is making the mental connection, realizing these are real words, they're real constructions. When Gwaihir the Windlord carries Gandalf off to safety, I suddenly clicked and realized Gwaihir the Windlord, those are literal, that's literally what his name means, wind, Gwai, and here for Lord. The words are real. Lembas, the bread that is given by the elves to the travelers in the Fellowship of the Ring, is way bread. That's what it means, journey's bread. And you can find the root words if you go Dragonflame and follow the links. I mean, Lembas is listed in there, and then you can also see the root words that make it up. How many languages did J.R.R. Tolkien make? Well, Helge wrote this: "The question of just how many languages Tolkien constructed is much more difficult to answer than a naive questioner may realize. It all comes down to definitions. By the strictest definition, Tolkien didn't make even one single language. By the most liberal definition, he made a virtually indefinite number of languages. We all start with the assumption that if you devise words and grammar, the result can be termed a language. It's not merely some kind of queer literary art that merely happens to imitate the structure of real languages. Of course, if you insist that a system of words and grammar is not an actual language unless it emerged and evolved more or less spontaneously in a community of people who spoke this language for generations, then Tolkien didn't make any languages at all. After all, Tolkien's linguistic constructions have never been anyone's mother tongue. The answer to the how many languages question will likewise be zero if you mean languages that are so complete that you can readily translate any text into them. Tolkien didn't develop an Elvish terminology that can be used to discuss brain surgery or quantum physics. Indeed, the published vocabulary of even the most highly developed Elvish languages is pretty basic, and often even less than basic. Material that is still unpublished will certainly fill some of the present gaps if this material is eventually made available, but we shouldn't think that any Tolkien language was ever even remotely complete in terms of vocabulary. On the other hand, Tolkien has left us so much material that, with some ingenuity, one could develop a much fuller vocabulary by starting from Tolkien's roots and applying his methods of derivation. Some would like to do this, and preliminary projects are indeed on their way. Others are distinctly unenthusiastic about such fabrication and feel that Tolkien linguistics proper should only focus on Tolkien's own material. Those who hold this view are not particularly interested in using the languages at all." Now, you can find some links in the show notes to other sources. There is the Elvish Linguistic Fellowship, which is a group that is devoted to a scholarly study and use of Tolkien's work in the languages. There's also something called the Encyclopedia of Arda, which is a comprehensive cross-linked reference site for terms and historical figures. I mean, it's essentially an encyclopedia of the Middle-earth milieu. There's also a podcast. I've yet to listen to any of it, but I just discovered it when I was doing some research. LOTR Radio. It's lotrradio.com. There's a link on the page. They say one podcast to rule them all. I'll have to take a listen and see what it's like. It looks interesting. There's also a link to Gray Elven. Now that's a derivative language. It's not Tolkien's Elvish, but it's developed for game players, and it definitely starts with Tolkien's words, but it is far from official. It's kind of going down the direction that is mentioned in Helgi's piece that I was reading, people who are trying to enhance the language to add more words to it to fill up the vocabulary. Well, that's about all we've got for this podcast. Again, I invite you to send me feedback, joel@mrklingon.org. I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to hear feedback and any linguistic ideas or things that you are interested in. But I'd also encourage you to take a look at some of these resources, especially the Dragonflame. If you want to look at Tolkien's language, it also, I should mention, Dragonflame does include the Tengwar modes. It includes the fonts so that you can write and use the script of Middle Earth yourself. So it's a lot of fun. Take a look at that. If you have at all interest in audio things, get the BBC production of The Lord of the Rings. It's a great thing. I've listened to it a number of times. I'm listening to it right now. I started because I was working on this show, and I can't recommend it enough. Anyway, this is Joel, Mr. Klingon. Thanks for listening.